You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. This is the closing market report for the 11th day of July, 2014. It is a Friday afternoon. This morning at 11 o'clock Central Time, the United States Department of Agriculture released its latest world agricultural supply and demand estimates, a crop production report, too, that has to do with wheat. Let's go through some of those numbers with Mike Zuzulo. He's on from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, USDA released some numbers this morning. There were some surprises and some explanations, and maybe we ought to start with the explanations. USDA said of the national corn yield and total production that there would be 75 million bushels less this year than there were last year. Probably surprised quite a few folks. And they simply said too early to tell on the yield, so we're not going to up it. And as far as production, we think there are fewer acres out there. And when you total it all up with the current yield, it's going to come up 75 million bushels short of last year. Kind of an interesting commentary.
Yeah, it was. And I think this goes with, you know, the elasticity spreadsheet and talk that we had with the Commodity Week guest a couple weeks ago, Todd, that we got down to 394 for a low in July corn. If I plug that into the spreadsheet for lead month corn, then the trade was probably trying to factor in between a 2050 and a 2075 carryover, 2.050 carryover. And using USDA's 13.335 total demand number, the yield then, what we have factored in as of today's close using that spreadsheet, is about a 168.5. So in and of itself, that report and the U.S. ending stocks for corn, and I would say also the U.S. ending stocks for beans, were not negative. They may have been deemed no better than neutral, but they weren't negative. The spotlight was once again, just like it was on the acreage report, back on the wheat market, and the wheat continued to show no signs of bottoming, taking us down to, you know, levels not seen since late June, early July of 2010, because USDA really thumped the demand there, saying we haven't found demand yet, even though we're at $225 a ton for soft red wheat at the Gulf of Mexico. And so you could see pretty clearly again in this report, just like the acreage and stocks report, the wheat really is a major fundamental factor and sentiment leader to how the funds trade, with another a significant increase in selling pressure after the numbers were released.
And so you're suggesting that this kept the pressure on all the grains and oilseed markets for the day?
Yeah, in fact, the spring wheat was the leader to the downside after the report, dropping almost 5%. Now, the interesting feature about it is that although the September spring wheat closed down 2%, the July spring wheat closed and settled up about 95 cents a bushel, up 15%, and so haven't been able to find out how many bushels were traded there. I have been told by colleagues in Chicago there was an actual trade there, but this was the heart and soul of the break. Interesting that the corn and beans and the soft red wheat did not care, and soft red wheat actually in Chicago made new lows on the close, even though the spring wheat came back. So a lot of unexplained price action in the last 5 minutes or so trade of the spring wheat contract that we'll have to dig deeper into Monday.
Mm-hmm. You suppose we'll see a delayed bounce then on Monday and turn things higher?
You know, I think we're back to a weather market, Todd, at this stage of the game. The trade is not going to buy the grains ahead of the August report unless they have a weather reason to do so. I mean, this is unless something geopolitically hits. You know, earlier today, Dow Jones confirmed a Bloomberg story late yesterday that a Cargill oilseed plant had been taken over by armed people and that it was shut down since July 4th, and it's just now getting leaked out to the media. Unless something like that would come in and shock the market and surprise the market, thinking that the Black Sea would not be as big of a negative force on the demand side of the equation for wheat for the United States. And you're probably waiting for the corn and bean weather Sunday and looking at maybe potentially short covering in the short term with the idea that this colder weather, if it sits in for 10 days on the models, that may start to cause some concern about heating degree units and how the northern corn belt is getting along.
Let's take up ending stocks for corn and soybeans. We'll go with the 14-15 ending stocks, so not this year, but for the fall of 2014-15. For corn, 1.801 billion bushels. That's actually really close to the trade guess. That's above the 1.726 in June, but trade guess was 1.807, so 1.801, right on the money. And the soybeans at 415 million. Trade guess was 417 million. I'm wondering, though, when I look at some of these numbers, and maybe it's the corn number that I'm wondering more about than the soybean number, at 1.8 billion bushels, is the trade moving too low in its price tag for next year's corn crop?
Well, here again, I think they've added some bushels to the yield number. I think they're probably running 3 bushels. If that elasticity spreadsheet's right, we're running closer to a 168.5 yield instead of 165.3.
But aren't they looking closer to a 2 billion bushel carryout? I mean, what does that come out with, a 2.2, 2.1 or something like that?
Yeah, just under a 2.1 carryover. To answer your question, yes, I think they're running it too cheap, but they haven't found a low in the wheat, and the trade is very nervous about the situation with the MIR-162 genetics and what that's caused politically and what that has caused in terms of trade of corn. One thing that you can say about the coarse grain number, the global coarse grain number, Todd, was probably the most bearish number out there in today's report at face value, because coarse grains jumped about 6.8 million tons. That's the biggest since 1998. Our country, the United States, was 70% of that. China and Brazil was the other 30%. So the trade's probably standing back saying, yeah, we've got a pretty big carryover factored in, but what if China starts to sell more of their corn because their crop just got bigger in the last month? And I think this is where, again, the wheat and the corn are trading very close sentimentally, I think.
Anything that this changed your mind about in the marketplace today and the way you're considering moving forward?
No, in fact, it just solidified the idea that you can't lift hedges on this type of a bean number, and in beans, you cannot lift hedges on this type of a wheat price reaction in the corn. I still feel as though that the cash corn sales should be limited in the corn especially, and to a lesser degree in the beans. I don't think we're out of the woods in the beans. We talked again about this 2 weeks ago on Commodity Week about the next 30 days being a really big deal for the beans. I haven't gotten very many good bean reports from clients in the last 10, 15 days. These next 20 days are going to be huge and probably dictate whether the crop gets bigger or not. And so I still think the beans, you can hedge them, but I'd do it in paper in case you end up in 15, 20 days from now with pretty cool, dry conditions that, you know, you don't get much of a pod fill on. And so this is where it gets pretty hard for the beans. And the corn, it's a lot easier because you can just keep your paper hedges on until the wheat bottoms.
Speaking of Commodity Week, you will be one of our panelists, along with Aaron Curtis from Midco and Bill Gentry from Risk Management Commodities this afternoon. Our guest, Mike, will be Brian Basting. He's at Advanced Trading there in Bloomington, Illinois. Looking forward to talking to you on and on about 15 minutes or so on our home radio station. Other folks can wait and hear it about 4 o'clock at willag.org. Thanks so much.
Can't wait, Todd. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. Don't forget, you can find all of the USDA numbers, if you'd like, on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. My Twitter feed at the moment is there. But you might want to go over to the USDA Reports link, which is on the right-hand side of the page. That'll give you much more detail than what I've got set there for the Twitter feed, although you can find what USDA actually released in the more terms of supply and demand tables directly. However you find them, those are numbers that are important to you. We think they are, and we hope you do too. That's why they're up on the website. And we hope it's a really great service to you. By the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter, at Commodity Week, if you want to follow David Dickey on Twitter, you can do that too, at David A. Dickey.